In today's episode of the Mustard Seed Leadership Podcast, we're on part two of a series called Baptized in the Name of the Father, and comes from our manual we're working through. It's called Discipleship Tables. It's a discipleship journey based on the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And really the question that I want to ask today is a question that the text we're going to read in a moment asks, and it's really this question: are you lying about your relationship to God? Now, I know that's quite an accusatory type of question, but the passage we're about to read reveals that sometimes we can be saying things and even believing them in our minds, and yet the reality of our lives tells us we're lying. And so with that in mind, let's have a take a look at this passage in 1 John 4, verses 16 to 21. John is writing to the church, and he says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. It's quite a convicting passage, but I love the way John is adamant that there is fruit to knowing God and knowing his love. And sometimes we can be lying, I go to church and I sing the songs, and yet he's pointing to two things in particular. He's pointing at fear, and he's pointing at the way you treat other people. And basically he's saying, if your life is still ruled by fear, you don't actually know his love, because his love casts out all fear. And number two, you can say you love God, God loves you, that's great, but the fruit of that should be that you love others, including loving your enemies. So if you're walking around with bitterness or offense, the proof is actually no, you don't know God's love, and you're lying, because actually if you love God, you will love others as well. And so he poses a couple of questions, and I want to look at five questions that John asks here about, do you really know God? And question number one is this: do you know how much God loves you? Now, here's the deal. You can know it academically. Most people you ask, do you know God loves you? Yes. But he points to the issue of trust. We know God loves us when we start trusting in his love. And it says we know and have come to rely on his love. Trusting his love. In fact, I mean, God demonstrates the incredible power of his love by sending Jesus. And if God loves us that much to send Jesus, how much more won't he be taking care of the other areas of our lives? Number one, you know God when you've learned to trust in his love, which puts peace inside of our hearts. Number two, do you really know God? Do you really know that God is love? Now, what I mean by this is many people know, yes, God loves me and all of that. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't say that God is loving. It actually says God is love. In other words, God cannot do anything that is not love, because if he did not love, he would no longer be God, because it says God is love. Now, this is not just semantics. This is critically important. Satan and his demonic powers and principalities will try and mess with your mind to get you to end up thinking, if God is loving, how could this happen? This is horrible, so surely God doesn't love. If the enemy can mess with your mind and get you to a point where maybe God is not that loving and not that good, then he's won the battle. And he's proved that you don't really know God. God is love, and he cannot act outside of love. Which brings us to the third question. Do you know if God is really living in you? It's a great question. You could know about God, but are you actually born again? Is Christ come and made his heart inside of you? And the litmus test, the real proof, is that you've started loving others. You cannot have the God of love inside you and not produce love for others around you. And so if you go to church and you sing songs, but you actually are not loving the people around you, you might be religious and you're doing religious exercises, but you're not actually born again. You know God when God's love is in you and is now worked out to the people around you. Question number four, has the love of God changed you? Now, this is the most amazing thing. This concept of perfect love drives out fear. is an incredible thing. Most people live with fear and worry and anxiety and stress. But the more you get to know God's love, it's like oil and water. As the love increases, the stress, worry, anxiety should decrease. It should be a constant journey. In fact, you can measure how much of God's love, His perfect love, is in you by how dominated your life is by worry and stress and anxiety. The perfect love of God drives out fear. And one of my favorite stories, when Jehoshaphat, king, faced the armies, three armies approaching, and God said, "You're not going to fight this battle. I'll fight. You go out in front with the singers." And the song they sang, "Give thanks to the Lord because His love endures forever." That's how they fought the battle. They overcame opposition through a knowledge of the love of God. Now it says in Isaiah 41 verse 13, "For I hold you by your right hand, I the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid, I am here to help you." Do you know God with you, the love of God with you? That's the key to overcoming, and that's how you know that you know God. And then question number 5, do you know what God wants for your life? So many people are always seeking God. What's your purpose? What's your plan? What have you called me to? Well, I can say this with absolute authority. God's purpose for your life is to love the people around you. And that's what the passage tells us once again. This is my command, that you would love others with that love that we have received. And once again, that's the proof that truly we know God and we are beginning to model that life, is when we begin to love even the difficult people that surround us. The commands of God are summed up in the one new command Jesus gave us in John 13, 34 and 35. "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." That's the badge that Jesus wants His followers to wear. So let me wrap it up with a challenge. And the challenge, once again, is the courage to open your heart to more of God's love. And it sounds easy, but it's actually not. There's fears and pride and control and all of these things which try and keep our hearts closed. Are you willing to stretch your heart wider, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal more of His love? The more you receive it, the more you will reflect it. So the question to ponder: how much fear do you still live with? Do you now understand how to get rid of that fear? And I want you to take that question seriously. If you live a life dominated, worry, stress, dread, if that dominates your love, this is the problem. You haven't yet surrendered to the love of God. May that become a revelation to you in Jesus' name. Anyway, I hope that helps, and I can't wait to see you again next week. Until then, God bless, and bye for now.